This morning, open with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. If you have legs and can, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Romans chapter 5. I understand that tomorrow is a holiday and most of you guys will not be working. And you're hoping that you can start early. And you're praying that the preacher don't get long-winded. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. But when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Let us pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have blessed us with and given us a privilege and the blessings of coming to worship you. We thank you for grace and for mercy and for your faithfulness, Lord. And I pray now that you would give us an affected message, one that will stir our hearts and move us in the right direction. I pray, Heavenly Father, that somebody would be saved, that a life would be changed. And I pray that you would be glorified and exalted through the preaching of your word. Now, Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. My arms are limited, but yours are not. Would you reach down and touch us this morning in the places where we need to be touched? And we'll forever give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to us for a moment about the blessings of salvation. Amen. The blessings, the benefits of salvation. I still believe that Jesus Christ is the greatest person to ever be born on the face of the planet. I still believe that what Jesus has accomplished for mankind is the greatest accomplishment the world will ever know. And folks, I tell you, I still believe this morning that the greatest blessing that any person can ever receive from the hand of God is the blessing of salvation. I don't believe that it get any better than that. I don't believe that there's anything that compares to being saved. No financial wealth can compare. No successes or accomplishments in life can compare to being saved. No physical victories and triumphs can compare to knowing that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I still believe that being saved is the greatest blessing any person can ever receive from the hand and the heart of Holy God. The Apostle Paul, here in his letter to the book, to the church at Rome, Paul began by talking to the unsaved. He started this letter. It was a letter, we call it an epistle, but really it was a letter that Paul wrote to the church. He started by talking to those who saw no need for Jesus Christ in their lives. He starts by talking to those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Paul gives them some very stern warnings. Warnings that was true back then, and they are warnings that are still true today. He warns them, first of all, that the wrath of God is coming. Amen. That the righteous indignation of holy God is coming upon every single person who rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul warns them that there is a day of judgment coming. There is a day when God will deal with the wickedness and the ungodliness and the sin that is in this world. Secondly, Paul warns them that all of us deserves this punishment. Every single one of us deserves to die and be eternally lost because all of us have sinned. All of us have broken God's commandments. All of us have violated his laws and his principles. And Paul warns us that wrath is coming, and he warns us that all of us deserve eternal damnation. But stuck right in the middle of the first promise and the second promise, or the second warning, is this warning. And that is, God in his goodness and his grace and his love has been working tirelessly trying to bring sinners like me and you to repentance. Y'all gonna have to help me this morning. We're gonna be here for a while. Everything that God's been doing in your life, unsaved person, everything that God has been doing in your life, person who is rejecting Jesus Christ, God's been doing it not to make your life comfortable, but to get you to see that you have a greater need of Jesus Christ than you could ever imagine. Every blessing, every breakthrough, every benefit, every time he put food on the table, every time he put clothes on your back, every time he gave you a job, every time he let you get promoted, everything that God's been doing in your life, unsaved person, he's been trying to get you to see that he's a good God and you need him.
Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Yes, sir. Amen.
And so, in the first four chapters, Paul is talking to the unsaved. He's talking to those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I thought about it this week as I studied this text, and I thought about if Paul hadn't have been such a great preacher, he would have made a great salesman. If Paul hadn't have been such a great missionary and evangelist, he could have made Sears and Roebuck bigger than what they are. Because what Paul is doing, he's trying to sell us on Jesus Christ. He's trying to sell us on the gospel of grace. And what Paul does, listen, first he starts off by showing us the danger of rejecting it. Like every good salesman try to show you why you gotta have it. Why you can't live without it. Listen, but then if that don't work, and that don't work for a lot of folks. Listen, there are a lot of people, and maybe some sitting up in church this morning, who think that they have no need to fear hell. You see, the devil has painted for us a false picture of what hell is going to be like. You think you're going to party in hell. You think you're going to hang out with the boys in hell. You think you're going to be together with all of your friends. But let me tell you something about hell. Number one, hell is hot. Hell is not a place of party. Hell is a place of torment. Number two, listen, you will be in hell if you go by yourself. The sad part about hell is that you're there for eternity with no fellowship from God and no fellowship with folks. And so Paul, like a good salesman who wants to sell you something, he shows you, first of all, why you can't live without it. And if that don't work, then Paul shows you the benefits of buying it. And that's what he does here in Romans chapter 5. Paul turns his attention from those who say that they don't need Jesus to those who say that they want Jesus. He turns his attention from those who reject him to those who receive him. And he shows us the blessings that all of us have this morning because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Seven things I want to share with you this morning before we go home. Seven truths, listen, that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you never accept him as your personal Savior. You've been coming to church a long time. Maybe you've been part of a youth group. Maybe you're in an adult Sunday school class. But you know deep down in your heart that you are not ready to die. And you're certainly not ready for the judgment that is to come. Amen. Paul said, I want to offer you. I want to tell you seven blessings that comes to every sinner. No matter how bad you've been. No matter what you've done. Seven blessings that come to every sinner who will turn from sin to Jesus Christ. First of all, Paul says, look with me now, keep your Bibles open because what we need to look at is in these verses. First of all, Paul tells us that there is the blessing of being justified. Do you see it in verse 1? He said, therefore being justified by faith. Now that word justified is a legal term. And what it means to be declared righteous. Amen. Listen, it means to be pardoned of a guilt that you're guilty of. Come on. Listen, amen. Really, listen, it does not mean that you are righteous. It means that God treats you like you're righteous. Yes, it does not mean that you're not guilty. All of us know we're guilty. Am I preaching to y'all or am I just preaching to myself this morning? Yes, all of us know we're guilty. Yeah, listen, we're guilty. We said we didn't eat the cookie, but the crumbs are still on our mouth. Come on. Listen, all of us are guilty, but what justified means, it means that God has declared you righteous. It means that God treats you like you never did it. Oh, Lord, heaven. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You see, the reason why some of us can't say amen.
Come on, help.
The reason why some of us can't smile and shout at that, because listen, we don't know how guilty we really was.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Listen, and when you don't know how guilty you are, you don't know how much trouble you're in. Amen. But for a criminal like me, For a bad person like me, for a screw up like me, when you know you were guilty and the judge says you've been justified, that's reason to rejoice. And we may just stay on this point. We'll finish. Let me tell you something, Solid Rock. I know I was guilty. Everything that the devil accused me of, I was guilty. Amen. Listen, you didn't see me do it. You may not even heard about me doing it. But everything that was brought against me, I was guilty of it. That's why I love Jesus so much. Because, oh, hallelujah, he paid a debt for me that I couldn't pay for myself. We've been justified. Hey, listen, we've been justified. Listen, the debt's been paid in full, and every time the devil brings it up, God points him to the cross and said, my son paid for his mess. Justified. We've been justified. Hey, listen, we've been justified. Amen. He treats us like we never did it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's good to us, just like we never seen him. In fact, let me tell you what happened. Watch this. When you come to Jesus, when you get under the cross, when you get covered in the blood, whenever God looks at you, he have to see you under the cross. Whenever God looks, hallelujah, whenever God looks at you, he have to see you under the blood of Jesus. Listen to me. And wherever the blood is, there is peace with God. Let me tell you something. Me and the devil fight a lot. He's the second person I see every morning when I wake up. I see the Holy Ghost first. I see the devil second and Miss Maddie third. Now let me tell you something. Listen. Me and him fight a lot. But one thing that he can't mess with me about, he can't mess with me about my benefits from the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. We've been justified. That means that God treat me like I never did it. God treat me like it never happened. I broke his laws. I violated his commandments. I stepped out of his will. But when I came to the cross of Jesus Christ, God changed how he looked at me. I want to stay right there because I like that word justified. Amen. We've been, one of the benefits, one of the blessings is that we've been justified. That means, listen to me, that means that the debt of guilt that was over your head has been taken away, placed on the cross of Christ, and now you're free at last. Come on, somebody. I don't know how many of y'all have ever experienced freedom. But freedom is a great thing. We are free in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. But watch this. Here's the second thing that Paul says. There is the blessing of an unbreakable peace. Listen, unbreakable peace. Notice what Paul says in verse 1 again. He said, therefore, being justified by faith. Now watch this. Now, he's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to believers now. He's talking to saints. Now, let me tell you something. Because I see some of y'all daydreaming. And I know you already done went over into Monday. And you got the grill out. And you thinking about how you going to season your meat. But listen to me. Listen, watch this. This is good news for us. Listen, this is something that every believer ought to get a hold of. Listen, Paul said we've been justified. He said now in Christ Jesus, because of my faith in Christ, I have peace with God. Listen, I have peace with God. Now watch this, listen. Every unsaved person needs to understand this. You need to understand that as long as you reject Christ, you are declaring to God, I want to stay at war with you. As long, listen, if you leave out of here this morning unsaved without knowing Jesus Christ, here's what you're saying to Almighty, unlimited God who can reach you anywhere you are at any time he wants. You're saying to him, I want the war to continue between us. Amen. But praise God. When you come to Jesus, when you humble yourself and you come to Jesus Christ, listen, you go from being under the wrath of God to having peace with God. Amen. You know what that means? That means that God is not out to get you anymore. Listen, to come to Jesus is to declare to God, I want the war to end. I want the animosity to end. I don't want to be at odds with you no more. I want to be on the same side with you. Now, let me tell you a little secret. At least you think you're doing God a favor by coming. He'll still be God if you don't come. But the only way you can keep from dying and going to a burning hell is to come. Am I doing all right this morning? We have peace now. Now let's go back to the believer for just a minute. Listen, we have peace. We have peace with God. Listen, watch this. There are two types of peace that the Bible speaks about for the believer. There is peace with God, which means that there is no longer a war going on between you and God. You go from being an enemy of God to being a son or a daughter of God. Now that's peace with God to you. But listen, the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians speaks about another peace, and that is the peace of God. Listen, peace with God means there is no war anymore. The peace of God is what we have when we stay close to him, when trials and tribulations and difficulties and all hell break loose in our lives. We can still have a comfort and a blessed assurance on the inside of us because we know that we know that we know that he is bigger than any problem that we're going to face. You see, the problem in the church is that a lot of us have peace with God. Oh, we've been saved, but because we live all kind of ways, we don't have no peace of God. While we're right there, let me just tell you this right here. You can't live shabby. Come on, say. As a Christian and have peace and power from God. Some of y'all slept right through that. Listen, if you want the power of God as a believer, and you want the peace of God as a believer, you know you've been saved. How many of y'all know you've been saved? You know you've been saved, look. But you got no power and you got no peace. I can promise you it's not God's fault. Paul said, look, he said, we have peace with God now. We have peace with God. Which means, look, it means that God is no longer your enemy. He becomes your friend. There's the blessings. Listen, there's the blessing of peace with God. But look what else Paul says. Still got your Bibles open? Look at verse number 2. He said, through this same Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, Paul says two things that is very important. Number one, he said we have access. We have access, which means, listen, that now that we've come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you and I, when trouble comes, when difficulty comes, when we mess up, when we fall and we come short of what we ought to be, we don't have to go to some priest, some earthly man to get a prayer to for us. Listen, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And talk to God face to face. We have access now. We have access. Listen, what the word literally means, it means acceptance to a king by another. That's what it means. And because of Jesus Christ, you and I now have access to God. We are fully accepted and we're welcomed in to the throne of grace. That's a blessing, folks. Oh, that's a blessing. Let me tell you why that's a blessing. Number one, that's a blessing because there are times when stuff happens in our lives that we can't talk to nobody else about.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, if I was to talk to you about some of the stuff I talked to God about, you say I'm crazy. Y'all start looking for you another pastor. You say he off his rocker. Here's the second thing. Listen, let me tell you why there's the second benefit to that is because when you talk to God, you talk to the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that when I talk to you, you can't help me really. But when I talk to him, he's able to do anything but fail.
Amen.
Access. Let me tell you something that I always loved about my mom. And we'll close with this morning. I'll finish the rest of them up next week. But Anthony, I always loved the fact mom raised 8 boys. And we done some horrible things. Some of it she knew about. A lot of it she didn't. But because we were her children, because her blood ran through our veins, because she went through the pain of birthing us, no matter what we did out there, we were always welcome to come home. I did some bad stuff that mama got a hold of before I got home to tell her, if I was going to tell her. But when I come walking up to that door, the door was always open. I had access to mama. Not only did I have access to the house, but I had access to everything that mom had because she loved me. And I want to say to the believers this morning, listen to me, you got access. You got access not to Obama, not even to the governor. You do good. Listen, you do good just to have a private meeting with the mayor. But oh, praise God this morning. We got access to the King of Glory. Listen, who rules and super rules the universe. He's sovereign Lord over everything. And no matter what happens in your life, he has the final say so to it. We got access this morning. We got access. But if you are an unbeliever, if you're unsaved, you don't have the same access that we have. In fact, God is dealing with you totally based upon his mercy. In every day of your life, God is pouring out mercy, hoping that you will one day do what Tom and Sandra did. You'll see your need for Jesus Christ. You'll look back over your life and you'll see how good. Listen, all that stuff you come through, you know you didn't make it by yourself. You'll see how good he's been to you. And you'll come running to him and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? We got access this morning. We've been justified. We have peace. And we have access to our Heavenly Father. If you're here this morning, you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you die in that condition, it will mean that God will have to treat you with the roughness and the wrath of his judgment. If you die without Jesus this morning, listen. If you die without Jesus, it means that you will never have an opportunity again to make peace with God.